This is our devotional commentary for Luke chapter 10. I'm Pastor Doug Corlew. Welcome to the Abide Podcast, where we daily begin with the reading of God's Word. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." The previous chapter began with Jesus sending out the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Luke 10 begins with Jesus sending out 72 others to do the same thing. Why? Because the harvest is plentiful, Jesus says, but the laborers are few. While the 12 apostles represent the Christian clergy, the 72 others represent every Christian. Genesis 10 lists 72 nations of the earth as descendants of Noah. The number came to symbolize completeness, meaning everybody. Not just some, but all believers in Jesus are sent out on mission. So as his representatives, we should find partners, seize opportunities, and prioritize prayer. Verses 1 and 2. We must accept risks, travel lightly, extend blessings, and show contentment. Verses 3 through 8. And we should meet needs focused on eternity as royal messengers of Jesus, verses 9 through 16. There is something urgent for all of us to do. Every day, people are dying and going to heaven or hell. There is no greater joy than to know one's name is written in heaven. So as the 72 evangelists return, they are thrilled that the mission was successful. They had been given a taste of Jesus' triumph over the devil. But as Jesus affirms their service, he reminds them that their highest joy does not depend on what they have accomplished for him. Far more important is what Christ has done for us, securing our eternal acceptance before God. The joy of our salvation exceeds the joy of our service. Verses 17 through 20. But the joy of God's sovereignty undergirds all our joy. Jesus emphasizes this truth as he rejoices in the Spirit, giving glory to the Father for his sovereignty in the salvation of humble sinners. Those who are wise in their own eyes will never be saved. God hides gospel truth from the arrogant. But those who come to him like children, willing to admit their need, trust his word, and receive his Son, will find eternal life. This is the Father's gracious will. Giving grace to the humble is one of the greatest joys of our triune God. Our physical eyes and ears haven't seen and heard what the disciples did, but we too have privileges greater than the prophets and kings of Israel. As the Spirit of God opens our spiritual eyes and ears through his word, we too can know Jesus in his fullness. If you're not yet a Christian, call out to God, receiving his Son in humble faith. And if you are a follower of Jesus, let your heart take joy today in the wonder that God has chosen you, loved you, and revealed himself to you. verses 21 through 24. A proud lawyer proves Jesus' point when he asks what he must do to inherit eternal life. This man assumes some good deed would qualify him for heaven. Claiming to have kept God's law, he desires to justify himself. But before we can show mercy to others, we must see our own need of mercy. Verses 25 through 37. Thanks for listening to the Abide Podcast. For more information about Summit Church of Alta, go to summitefc.com. And I'll meet you again next time as we abide, living daily in the Word.